We could start with the same warm-up, everyone's favorite cookie and cereal.
I totally forgot what mine were.
You got to stay consistent on this kind of thing. If you if you tell somebody one week that your favorite cookie is X, and the next week you tell them Y, you have just...
Because you know what happens.
You have just destroyed your trust in that person.
Yeah, they buy you those cookies, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll take them.
Is it Sugar Crisps?
No. Is that a cereal?
Maybe.
I don't know what a Sugar Crisp is.
Yeah, I think you just mixed a cookie and a cereal.
No, well, I made the joke that Cookie Crisp was mine because we had the option too, and that went over okay.
That was good.
I was pretty happy with how that joke went.
Yeah.
So.
And then you don't clarified what your real one was.
You don't get to bust out the Cookie Crisp references very often.
Yeah.
Hello, you're listening to The Flyover Effect, a podcast about startups, design, and all things internet. I'm Scott Rocketship, your producer and frequent co-host. You'll also be hearing from our fearless leader, Dan Shipton, and our interactive designer, Amanda Morrow. In this episode, we talk about, well, a little bit of everything. Grocery shopping, Magic the Gathering cards, and somehow tie it all back around to the intersection of user experience and branding. Enjoy the show. Did you guys hear about the Captain Crunch cancellation? It was rumored. It ended up not happening, but there was a rumor going around that they were discontinuing Captain Crunch. And I don't like it that much, but I like it enough that were it to go away, I would be very sad.
Yeah,
and
that would be a bummer.
And I very seriously consider driving to the store to stockpile it. Because Captain Crunch was like the one cereal that, like the sugary cereal that I got to eat because my dad bought it. Like
yeah.
I got raised, you wouldn't know what to look at me, but I got raised eating very healthy and like only Cheerios and Rice Krispies and like Wheat Chex and such. And then my dad would get himself a box of Captain Crunch and we would just eat the whole thing at once.
Yeah.
Like, and if you eat, if you know Captain Crunch, you know that if you eat more than like a cup full of it, your mouth starts bleeding.
Yeah.
And fills with this sugary mucus and it's an experience.
I remember when I used to stock that in the cereal aisle, there was like 10 different types of Captain Crunch. There's like peanut butter, Just Berries.
Apple Jacks.
Okay, Dan, you're the Paradox of Choice Master. This is your favorite book. Tell me why there are 10 different kinds of Captain Crunch. How does that happen?
I don't know.
Is it because they haven't read the book?
They talk about it in that book.
Is it because they haven't read the book, or does it actually work for these people? Like, does having 10 versions of Captain Crunch help?
So people really like choice. They love it. Like, they like having options. The problem is they don't realize it, but they're getting bogged down by choice, and they get really frustrated by it, and it's, like, more stress than they need.
Do you think that matters with unimportant choices, though? Like, do people feel stressed about their Captain Crunch options? Do you think that maybe that, like, doesn't work at a certain level?
Well, I think for that, in the Captain Crunch case, it's a play by cereal distributors for a larger piece of the pie. Like, they just
more
want
shelf space.
More shelf space, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. There's only so much shelf space that you're going to devote to one cereal. But if you have 10 different variations of that one, all of a sudden you've got two shelves. And then you can't get your healthy stuff.
It gives them an option to put out new product all the time, too, because, like, most of those new things go away after a little while, but then they come out with a new product and then you get all excited about it and you start buying that for a little while and then it kind of fades away and stuff. But like, I know when I go shopping, I look for something specific. I grab it off the shelf and then I walk away because I get overwhelmed. If I look at too many options, I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Or I'll just walk away because I'm like, start crying. No, I won't cry, but I'll just be like, screw this. I'm just going to, you know, grab something else.
I think it happens with beer, too, right? Like the big Miller and whatnot. They want as much shelf space as possible and will do whatever it takes to.
Bud Light, Bud Light Lime.
Yeah.
Bud Light Golden Wheat, that Clamato BS.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just Budweiser, Bud Light and tomato. It's not even Budweiser and tomato. It's Bud Light and tomato. And then they have like different seasonal, whatever they'll run. Yeah, that's good.
You know where I get overwhelmed? Wine overwhelms me so much because I can never recognize brands with that. Like,
I don't try. All I do is look for a pretty label.
They know that.
In a grape that I like.
Not enough people know it though, based on how many ugly ass wine labels there are.
Oh yeah.
Because that's like, I let Kat pick the wine because we also do the choose by the label method, and she's a lot pickier about it than I am. So that's what we end up drinking, whatever has like whatever winery has like actual like designers that went to art school
yeah.
doing their labels, that's the wine we drink.
And I think it's probably if I was to actually think about it, it would be the intersection of wine labels and my mood. So if I'm feeling I'm gonna pick a more sophisticated. If I'm feeling cheeky, I'm gonna go find the Fat Bastard wine, which is, you know, one of our favorites.
I like the Fat Bastard wine. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
There's it sounds couple, good though. I would buy that just on the name.
Yeah. Especially if they have a cute little label.
Mm-hmm.
Golden.
Shelf space becomes a really interesting metaphor when you think about digital places like the App Store. Right? Like, I remember, I think there was, I don't know if it's still the case, but there was a golden moment in time for Rovio when it was Angry Birds, Angry Birds Season, and Angry Birds Rio in the top 10 paid apps, like, for anything.
Yeah.
Which could not be the case if they, if, you know, if Rio was like an in-app purchase for Angry Birds, if Seasons was just an in-app purchase, they wouldn't have that shelf space. And that becomes, that's interesting. I mean, we even had kind of had that conversation with Eat Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite in those terms, but we had a similar conversation, just like, okay, do we make Pro a add-on to the light version and just have one brand, or do we have like two options out there? And some of it was just technical and price considerations, but some of it is just like that mental whatever of, oh, there's two of them out there now.
And I mean, the key too is to make sure you differentiate enough that it is a choice, because like that also frustrates me. I mean, the other day I downloaded some app in the Mac store, and I think there was a Pro version and then a Pro Lite version, which confused the crap out of me. And then there was a Lite version, and the Lite version was actually less features, but the Pro Lite version was the Pro version, except it was like a time tracking thing. It would only track that day. So it was the full version, but you couldn't get your history basically. But that was the only difference. And the Lite version was like totally different. It wasn't tracking all your activities or whatever, but I read the description 4 times and I could not figure out what the difference was.
And thus the power of copywriting and user experience, right?
Yeah.
Is like, that's one of those things that's so easy to push off until the very last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, we, like internally, I'm sure they have well-documented specs and wireframes and everything for what all these different versions are, and then they have to go and describe what the difference is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's when you end up with garbage like the comparison chart. I've seen well done comparison charts, but most of them are pretty bad, where it's like 8 versions listed and the check boxes, and it doesn't even fit on one page, so you're not even sure what the row header was now, like what version you're looking at. And
if you take that back to cereal and beer does an awful job of that, right? Like Bud Light versus whatever. Mm-hmm. But cereal, right? You've got Captain Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Captain Crunch with berries.
And then you have berries. Just the berries, just the crunch berries.
And there's just crunch berries. Like,
it's very clear what you're getting.
Whoa.
Life, this is cinnamon, like, life. Like, it's all very clear. But then as soon as you go to beer, like, the chain, like, the differences are.
This is like blowing my mind from our lunch conversation about, really quick recap for people that did not eat lunch with us, comic books and how they have segmented their audience so much. And then there's like 12 versions. Like if you're interested in Batman, like good luck getting into it, because there's like 14 books that Batman's in.
Mm-hmm.
But the mascot, like a character, does something really interesting, because even if the cereal is totally different, like Cheerios to me means little round O's that are of a certain like size and consistency and aren't going to get too wild. But Captain Crunch, like, yeah, I have a less of an impression of what the actual Captain Crunch cereal is.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can use that mascot to create like Oops All Berries, which are the little round things, and they're pretty much just selling like, I don't know, like Fruity Pebbles. It's not Fruity Pebbles. Yeah, Fruity Pebbles or something like that.
Yeah,
they're
selling the really sugary part.
Just by pulling that mascot over.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So like Angry Birds right now, we all think of it as this like touch-based physics, you know, game. Kind of a physics platformer, I guess. Like there's puzzles that you're – or physics puzzler. But if they wanted to do a, I don't know, like turn-based strategy Angry Birds game, like, I don't know, it would still work. They've got the pigs and the birds and all these different characters, and they could leverage that into whatever they want.
Yeah, as long as they stick with what their, you know, branding is, like you said, or what their mission, I don't know. Like, I'm sure they have some sort of mission established, like, these are the birds, they are angry at the pigs. So let's start there, you know? But yeah, like, it's
the
funny
steal the eggs.
That we keep talking about products, because, or, you know, like grocery store products, because the other day I ran into Smarties bubble gum. So it's like the Smarties candy, but they're little bubble gum balls. And and I was like, how does that work?
What was your first impression? Did you think, or did you think,
I don't know. I was like curious what they were going to, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to taste like Smarties, but Smarties are these little tablet, you know,
size. Oh, I'm intimately familiar with Smarties.
Yeah, I mean, we all are, you know? So like you try to make that into bubble gum and it's just like, okay, so it's just another candy.
Have you seen Jolly Rancher, I guess soda? I don't even know if it's carbonated. It's like, I mean, juice isn't really juice. It's a drink. Then they're not even pretending to call it anything. It's just Jolly Rancher drink, I guess. And they had it in a cooler in the like impulse purchases area, Ivy. And I saw it first. I grabbed my wife's attention. I was like, do you want one of these? She just looked at it and goes, oh.
Yeah.
Like just her first instinct. Like, I love Jolly Ranchers. The idea of drinking a bottle of them.
Yeah,
which is, I mean, if you want to talk about UX, like you just, it's how you feel. Like I have no experience with it, but it gives me this visceral, like that is going to be gross.
But see,
feeling.
Like Starburst jelly beans, I freaking love those things, and I don't even eat Starburst, but like, I don't know, like it seems to work. So it's interesting, like how far away you can go from your branding. You know, and sometimes get away with it, but other times you just, it doesn't work. You know?
I mean, it becomes one of those great power, great responsibility things. Like that's the first world problem of the 21st century, right? Is that like branding can be used for good or for evil when it comes to product quality. You can use a brand to sell somebody on a new idea they might not otherwise have been comfortable with and get them to buy on and go, oh, like the Angry Birds people made this. I bet this game will be fun. Mm-hmm. Or they can sell just some piece of junk toy with the Angry Birds brand. And then, you know, managing that, I mean, that's user experience taken up to the branding level of how do you manage people's goodwill?
Yeah.
You know, if they keep getting burned on cheap crap branded in a certain way, they're not going to think very highly of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you can do the opposite and build the brand with it.
Or you like overwhelm your fans with just junk and then they don't know what to choose. Like, I'm sure this happens a lot with comic book nerds. Like, they, you know, like, I mean, you buy all those little superhero figurines. Like, mm-hmm. It's overwhelming probably after a while. Like,
it is.
Oh man, I really want this, but.
Like, the collecting industry is really weird because they toe this balance of like, well, if it's everywhere, if it's ubiquitous, then mm-hmm. people aren't going to think it's very special. But by trying to control the availability, they make a very frustrating experience for people who really care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many things that like lines of toys or books or whatever that I've tried to collect. And then all of a sudden they'll cut distribution in half.
Yeah.
And now it's not even coming into Iowa, or they'll double the price, like just mm-hmm. overnight. And it's, you know, with like with a big box experience, there's no customer relationship there. I'm not on their mailing list. I'm not a monthly subscriber. I'm just a dude who walks into the store. And, you know, for every one of me that's buying this Justice League Unlimited figure, there's also the, you know, distracted parent who just buys it to get their kid to shut up.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they buy him the one that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, whatever, hope the kid has fun with it, but like he doesn't care, you know. You could have bought him a Buzz Lightyear and he won't know the difference. And so it's tricky. Branding and user experience, the way they interact, is very tricky.
Is this where we talk about Beanie Babies?
Oh god,
it just sounds like that's where we're going, but I don't have any Beanie Baby stories. My mom liked them, but I don't have any stories.
Have I told a Beanie Baby story on the podcast already?
Don't think so.
I had a girlfriend in high school. Nice lady.
You had a girlfriend?
Yeah. So my girlfriend, because I had girlfriends. I think the really short version of the story is she broke up with me, or I was just in the doghouse, and there was a video rental store in our small town that was basically like the catch-all collectibles place.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had a few random comics and a few random action figures and a few random Beanie Babies and all this stuff. And there was this like butterfly glittery Beanie Baby thing that was apparently highly desirable in the Beanie Baby world. And it was, you know, it was like $30, which A, is a lot of money for a freaking Beanie Baby, and B, for like being a teenager,
you know,
it was a lot of money. And I went and bought that stupid thing for her. And I regret it to this day. She's very, very nice. She's very, very nice. I wish her all the best of luck. She's married now and everything. But that I want my $30 back. because like it didn't, you know, like, I mean, even flowers at least would have, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I regretted purchasing it because even at the time I knew that this was an inherently worthless object.
Yeah.
That I was paying $30 for because of hype, and it drove me crazy, and it should have been a warning sign that someone who would want this thing maybe is not compatible with me to a certain degree, but whatever.
Dating advice I was from young, Scott.
So,
did it come with a glass case and all
no,
of that?
No, okay. You know, I didn't even get the case. It was just like dusty on this shelf next to some like George Brett baseball cards or something. I mean, it was
the things
awful.
You do for love. Oh my.
Yeah.
Are you do for girls?
I don't want to. I also spent a lot of time in the Disney store and that relationship. We had a Disney store at our mall and they have snow globes that are not cheap. But it made, like, you know, anniversary, birthday, Christmas shopping easier. There's also that, right? Okay, so branding came in handy for me because, like, I'd never, like, you know, first, like, serious girlfriend, and I didn't know girls very well. And it's like, well, she's in this shit, so I'll just go to the Disney store, pick out something with a princess on it, and ta-da!
Totally backfired on me. I just got my birthday present from a friend. She had it for a month now, and she gave me the same panda book that Eric bought me. And I was like, God, people know me too well at this point.
I kind of had that experience with, not that experience, with collecting baseball cards and Magic the Gathering cards. Because I got in, well, baseball cards have been around forever. But, like, when I started, they hadn't figured out how to do all of the, like, 5 million different brands out there. So, like, year one, like, there's Topps, Floor, Upper Deck, right? And that's about it.
Donruss.
Huh? Oh, yeah. But there's just a handful. And by, like, year three, there's Fleer Ultra and, like, they're just all of these brands
Stadium
come on.
Stadium Club.
Yeah, and there's I gave up really quickly. Same thing with Magic the Gathering. Like, I even liked playing that stupid game. And I got in the first time when they're releasing the cards and the game, and that was fun. And then year two, like, the expansion decks, and by year three, there's just so many options that I just don't care anymore. And
I think we're getting back to the cutting features episode a little bit. I mean, that's kind of like,
We were trying to talk about user experience, but that's okay.
I think
this is part of user experience, though, because you don't like. I think we touched on this. We've touched on this a lot in our random discussions we've had. Is you just don't want to make people emotionally upset dealing with your products. Like,
the rich kids had more money and they could go get every stinking line of baseball card in Magic the Gathering.
Well, which for baseball cards, like, whatever, like, your collection versus their collection, like, you can still be proud of yours. With Magic the Gathering, the kids who can afford to buy the ultra rare whatever super overpowered card
playing with them
would win everything. And the psychology of that game is intriguing to me. I played a lot of nerdy stuff. I did not play Magic the Gathering, but I still go into the shops where they sell that stuff, and there are just the tension in the air between these like 40-year-old men and like 11-year-olds playing this game is just fascinating. It's really fascinating how emotionally invested people are in it, in something that they have that they don't have complete control over. You know, they spend $5 or $6 or whatever for a pack of cards, and then it's, you know, there's managing the goodwill in that.
And that
has to be tough.
That was the thing, right? Like, you get in right away, you start building up your decks and whatnot, and then they just start releasing all of these decks with all of these super special cards that make the whole first edition cards kind of pointless, because the only thing you can do is keep going bigger and better and over the top. In that case, it didn't work well.
Early on in the PlayStation 3 life cycle, they came out with a game called Eye of Judgment, which I think, in retrospect, I think was basically a gimmick to get people to buy the PlayStation Eye camera, because they didn't have the Move controllers and stuff yet. And it was pretty cool. There was a game board and a stand that you could put the camera in. And then you had Magic Gathering style cards that you would play on the board. The camera would scan like QR code style around the border, and then it would make actual things happen in the game. Really cool concept. The trouble was that people would just like scan and print cards off the internet and use the and just build the best deck that they had. And so, like, competitively, it just the game didn't work because people wouldn't adhere.
Cheated.
Yeah, people cheated, which like who did not expect that?
Yeah.
You know, like, who didn't expect that? And why not build a system that made it so that you could just print, like, at that point, why even sell the stupid cards? Like, just let people print things off the internet.
That's what's cool with the video games, where you can, like, you have to play to get better characters and things like that, because you actually have to put the time into it. I'm sure there's cheat codes and things like that, but, like, you know, like Mario Kart, you have to work to get those characters. And I mean,
Valve, who does Steam and the big, you know, like, online game distribution platform, they have a game called Team Fortress, and or Team Fortress 2, I guess, is the one that's out now. That's my favorite game franchise of all time. And they just went free to play. You originally bought it as part of the Orange Box. So you got like some Half-Life episodes and Portal and everything packaged together. So people had to spend money on it. And however many years it's been, it just went free to play, because as the game went along, they built up an in-universe economy where you could buy stuff that mostly has no effect on your competitive advantage. You can buy, like, hats.
Yeah, I remember you talking about, you know, hats.
And just, like, just stupid crap. And you can buy, like, you can buy a bunch of weapons and stuff now, but you can also get those randomly. And so it was really interesting. Like, they had, you had to pay to play the game. Like, you had to buy it.
Yeah.
And it was free to play. It wasn't like Warcraft. Like, you just bought it once and then could play. And then they built this thing up, and they realized that people were spending so much money on this, like, cosmetic and stuff, or just because they're impatient and they don't want to wait to get an item, or they're not social, they don't feel like trading for it, and they would just buy this stuff, and then it ended up going free to play. And that was a tough thing for them to manage goodwill, because people, whatever the value of a dollar is to a person is hard to judge, you know, but people were really indignant. Like, I paid my $20 for this and now it's free for everybody and blah, blah, blah. And I want my money back. It's like, you've also been playing it for 3 years.
Right.
And they gave everybody who had bought it, got a hat. It's called the proof of purchase. And it's a fancy hat, and anybody who didn't buy it can't get the hat.
Yeah.
And that was it might seem totally, totally stupid to people who don't play the game.
Do they still give the option to buy the actual?
I don't think so.
Because that would be interesting, too, to see how many people would buy it just so they had that hat.
Yeah, but the hat, totally good enough for me. Like, I'm good. They gave me the hat. I'm good to go. So I've got my stupid hat and my stupid medal. Where I'm running around, like, clicking on heads is the joke, because I play sniper a lot. Like, you just click on heads. And so this is how I kill hours of time at a night in my evenings. And I'm, like, totally happy.
Yeah.
And it's those little things that I don't think that I see a lot of smaller companies not paying attention to.
Yeah.
Like, you can make big changes if you just consider goodwill and try and do things to make people happy.
Well, and it's knowing that your user, too, like, they know that you guys, like, are obsessed with hats, so let's give everybody a hat or a badge or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, you don't always have to take the approach of, we're going to charge more, or, you know, like, we need to put advertising in. Like, sometimes you can just be creative and realize that if you get more people on, you'll make more money by letting them play for free. Like, that's like, how many companies would you say that, like, oh, we're gonna, like, give this away for free, and then, like, oh, now they're gonna start buying things throughout the game?
How many companies can still be making money from a AAA title 5 years on, like World of Warcraft, right? Like, that's geez, what a money machine.
Yeah.
Okay, so this brings up one thing to tie it back in. Netflix.
I was actually just going to bring that up.
Just announced their new plans. Short version, we can agree, like, not that big a deal.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So, for actual discussion, what could they have done differently to not piss people off so much?
I don't care. I mean, for me...
You don't care, which is great. But people who aren't you are really ticked
people
off.
People that don't comment on this stuff have been commenting on it online, which I thought was interesting. Because,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that use the service, whereas, like, Google Plus, like, half my friends don't give a you know,
it just in case.
That's the thing, is I don't know what I would have done differently.
I mean, what about, so they're knocking the price up. Presumably, if you subscribe to both plans now, it's going to cost you like $5 or $6 a month more. For us, where we were already teetering on the edge of not getting DVDs anymore, it's actually going to cost us like a couple bucks less.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know our, like, my boyfriend and I, we're already on the streaming plan, so yeah. I don't think anything changes.
But what about, okay, a free month, right? Like,
I was thinking that too.
Netflix is free for everybody in September as we try our new plan. Like, just some little, like, they tried to get at the goodwill, like, oh, it doesn't take effect until September. And look, if you do math our way, you're actually saving money. And I think that's what really ticked people off, is they're like, well, I don't care about your math. I don't care about your math. When I do my math, you're charging me more money. You know, and I saw someone even comment, like, this is just bad service. It's like, well, I mean, it would be bad service, like, if the service didn't work well. Like if the movies weren't available or they kept getting lost in the mail. It's a great service. It's the way they chose to present this.
I think that's the biggest
about this
thing.
Brand that people love that made them really worked up.
Yeah, it was like kind of a bad PR move because they didn't explain anything. They're just like, here's our new prices. We don't really have reasons to provide you. Like, I mean,
and they do if you read the news. Yeah, but not for joking. Like my mom gets Netflix.
Exactly. Like if you're reading into it, you can kind of figure out what's going on behind the scenes. But like even just give us some BS story, like, or like you said, maybe they add some sort of value to it. Oh, we're going to be launching HBO shows or something that's like new to kind of distract from the fact that they're raising their prices. But the problem is they're saying we're raising our prices. We don't really have a reason. We're not adding any value. Mm-hmm. And people don't like that. They want to know why, or at least be like feel like they know why. They always have something right around the corner. Like they're going to do something cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of waiting to see what that's going to be. And I'm wondering if they've just had to either they ran into a speed bump. They had to do this like out of nowhere, or they have something planned coming up that it will make sense later on why they're raising their prices, or there'll be added value later on. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I wonder, this is an out there thought, but I also wonder if a service can't be so good for so long that people are just kind of chomping at the bit a little bit to find something to freak out about.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember the last time I was mad at Netflix. Like, I just can't. I can't think of anything that I've ever been upset about.
The latest redesign for me, because they took away my stars. I can't see stars on my front page.
You know what I was noticing with the redesign?
I hate it.
I haven't used it a ton. But, like, there's no text below the titles.
Yeah, not anymore. All you see is, like, the box covers. It drives me nuts. Like, I have to hover my mouse and wait for it, and then I can see how many stars it is.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was going to be a problem. That's totally, like, a sidetrack note. But that was the first – that was my initial reaction when I saw it. I was like, man, I hope all these covers have the title very clear on them, because otherwise how are you going to read it?
And we're talking small. Like, that's – okay, so that's definitely a frustration.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You don't like the new interface.
It's very minor,
but
though.
Think big. Like, when's the last time you were mad at Netflix the same way you were mad at your phone company? Or,
or mad at Dropbox.
Or Dropbox or your cable internet provider. Like, you know, you do – it's definitely a service. Like, it's in that more of that category. And I've never felt even a tinge of frustration along the same lines that I have been with anyone else who sends me a monthly bill, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's out there. I wonder if some folks aren't just freaking out because, haha, Netflix finally screwed up. Let's take them to task. Like, some people just like to white knight that stuff.
And it's that emotional connection that we've always talked about is, like, people freaking love Netflix. Like, they have very loyal customers. And so when you change something, I mean, it's just like Facebook. Like,
that's it. That's what it is. Is if people didn't love Netflix as much, they probably, like, you wouldn't be flipping out, right? Like, what are the most intense, insane, passionate arguments you'll ever have in your life? It's with somebody you love.
Yeah.
Right? Or that you love and they don't love you or whatever. But, like, that's the most intense, like, emotional state I think most people will reach. Interactions with their parents, their wives, their children, whatever. So... it's dangerous if you make people fall in love with you.
Well, like, it's like when you invite someone to a birthday party and it's like, you know, your family, like you really want there because you care about them. But if someone that you don't really know that well doesn't show up, it doesn't hurt you that bad. But yeah, it's the same thing. Like, people have very like intense emotions about Netflix because it's such a good service. And when they feel like they've been backstabbed, even though they really haven't, like, I feel like if you love a service that much, paying an extra couple bucks a month is not that big of a deal.
I love Netflix.
I know you do.
Multigrain Cheerios. Now that I've thought about it longer, I really like the multigrain Cheerios. Because they're still Cheerios, but they're kind of sugary.
I think Cheerios was Dan's favorite cereal, right?
No.
That's life. What you said life. At the meeting.
No, I said life.
Oh.
I said life.
All right. We're at time. Any parting thoughts? What did we even talk about today?
I think we talked about a little bit about choice and differentiation.
Love.
Love.
Branding. The user experience of branding. Maybe we'll call it that. I don't know.
I don't even, yeah.
And flipping Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies. I have a wiener dog Beanie Baby. Of course.
I don't.